Cape Talk, Car Talk.
Car Talk, remember, if you want to chat to Chiro about any motoring issues, give him a call, 021-446-0567. You can also send a WhatsApp text or voice note, that number 072-567-1567. Chiro, it's great to chat to you again.
Hi, yes, thanks for having me.
You've been on a real adventure, traveling through the rural areas of Oman, apparently.
Yes, a country I never thought would be somewhere I'd ever visit. But it turns out it actually went onto the bucket list and then got ticked off straight away, actually. It was spectacular. It really was.
And what were you there for?
So Volkswagen they really want the public to think of their Amarok Bucky as one tough Bucky. And that's why we put them through some really extreme conditions. I mean, you know, 40-plus degree heat, desert sand dunes, dry riverbed, you name it. We threw everything at that Bucky, and they cope really, really well. But also in 2019, Volkswagen will be upping the power on their top-spec V6 diesel motor. And this is largely in response, I think at least, to the new imminent introduction of the Mercedes-Benz X-Class Bucky, which will be or would have been the most powerful Bucky on the market. So I think Volkswagen just beat them to the punch on that one.
You apparently, it was the first time you've driven a manual with a steering wheel on the wrong side of the car. Was that a tough thing to do?
I adapted fairly quickly, but the problem is that, you know, driving is one of those things you don't really think about. It's almost kind of muscle memory, and it's sort of quite far down the brainstem. And what I found happening was, as soon as my clutch leg went in, because the clutch is on the same side, it's on your left foot, but then my left hand would sort of, you know, punch the door almost. My left hand would sort of immediately jab out looking for the gear stick when actually, obviously, needs to be your right hand. So it takes quite a bit of concentration. And then, of course, you also find yourself on the wrong side of the road, which takes an enormous amount of concentration, especially at things like roundabouts. And Oman's capital, Muscat, had a sort of 4-5-lane roundabout, which are terrifying at the best of times. So it was a strange experience. And South Africa's, you know, we're one of the few right-hand drive markets in the world. So if you travel, it's likely that you are going to be on the left-hand side of the road somewhere.
Did you have to negotiate hills at all?
In terms of off-road or on-road?
Off-road, yeah, in terms of off-road.
So the first day saw us climb from from sea level. We were driving on a beach to 2,000 meters above sea level, up one of the most dramatic mountain passes I've ever seen. You know, the Al Hajar Mountains actually get to 3,000 meters above sea level. It's quite a mountain range. And some the roads were just, you know, you'd look at them and think, that's impossible. You know, there's no way we're going to get up that. And then you do, and it was just a phenomenal experience. And it is the sort of terrain where you do need a 4x4, but you have these roads which provide lifelines to the rural communities and the Bedouin communities. And literally the only way to traverse them is a 4x4. So I suppose that's the reason why Volkswagen picked the route.
Are there any downsides to this car?
It's expensive. I mean, you're probably looking at, sure, by the time you throw a few extras in there, you're probably looking at north of 800,000 rand for a Bucky, which is a significant amount of money for a Bucky. I mean, you think the sort of top-spec Ford Rangers are around 600,000, and the Hilux is maybe a little bit less than that. So it's an expensive exercise. You know, if for some reason you want an extremely powerful Bucky, then this is the way to go. But sure, to spend 800K on a pickup, I don't know. I just don't see too many South Africans doing it.
It's certainly out of our price range. I mean, what's the availability like in South Africa?
Right now, absolutely none. Unfortunately, if you want a V6 Bucky, you won't get this new 190 kilowatt version I've just driven until 2019. But the slightly lesser powered V6 is available, and I think prices start at around 740 for that one.
Okay, let's. The listener questions are already coming in for you. Let me start with my question first. I recently bought a new car, primarily for the warranty, but when I chatted to you, you advised me to really check the fine print of that warranty. What should people be checking with their warranties?
So there are some big ticket items which usually or occasionally are not included in the warranty, and I just learned that lesson the hard way. I've mentioned on the radio before that I run an Uber car up in Johannesburg. It's a Suzuki Sias, which is sort of a Toyota Corolla type vehicle. And the clutch was burnt out in under 60,000 Ks, which was quite a bit quick, you know. And the dealership phoned me and said, listen, you know, we'll strip it for you and we'll see if it was a mechanical fault. But in all likelihood, it's driver error. And that means that the repair bill will be for your own account. So they stripped it for me. They sent me some photos, which I think was very courteous of them. And it did turn out to just be driver error. And it was a nearly 11,000 Rand repair bill. So I was under the impression that the clutch was covered. But apparently, usually clutches are covered under what's known as a maintenance plan. And that's where you get the coverage for such a big ticket item. But unfortunately, on my particular plan, it wasn't. And I really have, you know, I've learned this lesson the hard way. And I suppose I just wanted to share it so that other motorists don't get caught out.
Well, it was certainly something that we were talking about with Wendy Nola at the top of the show. And you're not the only one that's had the exact same problem.
It's one of those things, I suppose. You know, it's like when you download a new piece of software or a new app on your phone and you see those terms and conditions. I mean, it takes forever to read all these things that we have to read through. But I suppose, and I was under a bit of pressure when I was buying that car. And funnily enough, I actually bought it remotely, but from Johannesburg. But you know, these are all excuses. I really should have just sat down and read through the warranty particulars. But I do sympathize with motorists who, you know, are in a hurry or under a bit of pressure to get a car or whatever it is. And just don't check all the terms and conditions. It's just one of those things, you know, read the fine print. It is a cliche for a reason.
Yeah. Or re-listen to the podcast from Wendy Nola and Consumer Talk from a little earlier in today. Just a reminder to listeners that Chiro is available to take any of your questions. So if you have any car-related questions, give us a call, 021-446-0567, or you can send a WhatsApp text or voice note to 072-567-1567, or you can send an SMS to 31567 or a tweet at Melanie Jane Rice or at Cape Talk. Chiro, there's a question here saying, it's from Gary, and Gary asks, I'm thinking of fitting an aftermarket device to help reduce fuel consumption. Are there any that you would recommend?
Oh, absolutely not. those aftermarket devices are just the sort of motoring equivalent of snake oil. They really are. You know, you get a few devices. You get one which is a sort of magnet which clamps onto your fuel line. You get one which goes into your air intake, which claims to sort of create a vortex and reduce fuel consumption and increase power. And it really is all nonsense, unfortunately. I wish there was a device out there that, you know, was cheap and effective, but the reality is that manufacturers spend billions of dollars on R&D to make their cars as fuel efficient as possible. So a sort of 100 Rand device from wherever it comes from is just not going to be up to scratch. And actually, interestingly, if I'm not mistaken, Car Magazine did a fantastic report on this where they used a very, very high-end engine facility that Sasol owns, and they did a bunch of testing on a bunch of these devices, and they found that the effectiveness was less than 1%, which is essentially just the margin for error when it comes to testing, really. So, no, don't waste your money.
Don't go there. Peter in Brackenfell has a question about the Audi A4. Hi, Peter.
Good afternoon. Hi, Jero. One if I can help. I've got an Audi A4 1.8 turbo. My car uses about a liter of oil per 1,000 kilometers. And I've had a complaint with Audi. I've emailed Audi South Africa, and I've done some online research. And I believe overseas in America and Australia, they recalled some of the Audis. Audi South Africa says, no, that's fine. That's a liter per 1,000 Ks or odd. So that means between services, I use about 15 liters of oil. And they say, no, that's fine. It's normal.
Yeah, this is such an interesting case. It's come up before off air for me. You know, a lot of people have, many people have approached me with this issue. It's come up on air as well. There seems to be a particular issue with the VW Audi Group engines, which are essentially exactly the same motors in both sets of cars. Where they start to consume significant quantities of oil, probably, I would say, you're north of 80,000 Ks, I would say, on the clock.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The problem is it's affecting my resale value. If I knew that, I wouldn't have bought an Audi.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. It's such a tricky one because, you know, the manufacturers sort of work on this, it's like a kind of a formula, you know, when things get really serious, they might issue a recall. But up until then, they'll just sort of try and keep everyone happy, you know. And it's one of those situations. I would say just, you know, the best thing you can do maybe is try and get it tuned as best as possible. Are you outside of your service band at the moment?
I am, yes. Yeah. Okay. And funny enough, it's got about 100,000 on the clock now. And she only started about 90,000 Ks. So it wasn't like it was the day before.
Yeah. It does seem to be around that time. So the last time this question came in, I actually put out on Twitter looking for some good Audi mechanics, and I actually have a list of three or four, which I can send you. It might be a good place to start just to chat to one of them and see if there's anything that can be done.
Great. Much appreciated.
Peter, if you send us, if you send Pippa an email, then we can certainly connect the two of you to pippah@capetalk.co.za.
I'll do that this afternoon. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Peter.
Thanks a lot.
Chira, Joan is in Rondebosch. Hi, Joan.
Hi. Chira, may I ask you, please, about the sealing of a Toyota Corolla from, believe it or not, 1996, which goes like a dream. It's a bit like driving a bus, but it goes like a dream.
Yeah.
And the sealing, I don't know what it's made of. It's sort of like a wannabe leather sort of stuff, or plastic, I don't know. But it's become loose from the roof of the vehicle, so it's sagging. And I went to an upholsterer, and they said they could do it, but it would cost about 2,500 rand to do, and I wondered whether I can just glue it back on or whether there are any other options.
I mean, if you ever plan to sell the car, it's probably worth investing in having it done properly so that it doesn't negatively affect the resale value of the car. I mean, if you plan to keep the car forever and a day, I would say maybe, you know, try a sort of a DIY repair. But 2,500 strikes me as fairly reasonable for a job like that. And, you know, it might just sort of, you know, really improve your day-to-day experience of the car, I suppose. You know, sort of the sagging roof material is not a particularly nice thing to look at.
No, it's actually very inconvenient because you can't see through the black out of the rear-view mirror well.
I mean, that of course becomes a safety issue. So, yes, I would say probably best to spend the money. In terms of a DIY solution, maybe pop into a sort of a Midas or something along those lines and see if there's a sort of fabric glue or something that the guys there might recommend. It's something I haven't tackled before, but I imagine there's something out there on the market which might provide some, you know, decent solution.
Achira, unfortunately, we have to leave it there. If any listeners have any questions for Chiro, remember to send them to pippah@capetalk.co.za, and Chiro will of course be back on next week with Car Talk.